Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now save $30 on the American-made Steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real Steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details. Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $20 on the Steel MS-162 or MS-170 chainsaw. Real Steel. Offer valid through June 30th, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Oh my gosh, what is up, family? Get this, get this, get this. I have a secret for you. I got one. We are just 2 weeks away from the NFL season kicking off. Hall of Fame game. It'll take place in Canton, Ohio. New York Jets, Cleveland Browns. That means Deshaun Watson and Aaron Rodgers. Now, we've talked a lot about Aaron Rodgers. He's excited to be in New York with Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson, Alan Lazard, Randall Cobb, amongst others. But on the flip side, what we haven't talked enough about is Deshaun Watson. Last time he started a full season, he led the entire NFL in passing yards. Couple him now with the talented running backs and wide receivers in Cleveland, and they might just be a star-studded team as well. Headed to my star-studded team, Foreign. The boy is back.
What's going on?
James Jones. What up, AB? What up, AB? NFL veteran, 9 years. Got a Super Bowl in his own right. Played with Aaron Rodgers. Glad to have you. How you living?
I'm living the dream, baby.
My dog is good to see you.
So we can't talk bad about A-Rod today. He's your man. You know what I'm saying? I'm just going to argue with you. That's all.
What up, Slick?
They're strong here.
There it is.
Watch out.
There it is.
Shady, I will warn you. They do a whole call and response thing with the Bay Area.
Get it.
Eagles all-time rushing leader. LaShawn, Shady, McCoy, he needs no introduction. Let's get right to it. 2-5 already introduced the viewer to Cleveland Browns, to Aaron Rodgers, to Deshaun Watson, to the New York Jets. Who is under more pressure this season? Is it Deshaun, who has $230 million fully guaranteed, or is it Aaron Rodgers, a future first ballot Hall of Famer?
I'm going to go with Deshaun Watson. Ooh. I think the easier one would be, A-Rod, the bigger name, the bigger resume. Bad Giant or Jets team, now he's here. But I'm going to go with Deshaun. I mean, I think that Deshaun's a younger player, so they expect Deshaun to play a lot longer, where A-Rod, 2 years, the most three, if that, and Deshaun has a fully guaranteed contract. Yep. We watched a Lamar Jackson go through hell to get that $230 million contract, and they gave it to Deshaun Watson. You'll be the hero. You're going to save the day for us. So I look at Deshaun because he's looking to come to the Browns to save the Browns. Every year, you always talk about how the Browns, all they need is a quarterback, right? I mean, they were praying around Baker Mayfield because he took them to the playoffs, right? Mm-hmm. And even though he was like the last part to that, but he still took them there. Where Deshaun Watson, he's a superstar. I mean, you look at his resume, right? He played with some bad teams, but he was the only shining star they had. So I'm going to Deshaun Watson.
For me, when they broke the news and said Aaron Rodgers to the New York Football Jets,
Your boy.
Everybody said Super Bowl. Right, this Super Bowl contender, right, with Aaron Rodgers on the roster, the defense that they had, the pieces they added this year. Oh, wait, we're going to give you the other couple pieces that you like, right? Alan Lazard, the Randall Cobb. You know what? Before we do all that, we're going to make sure we're going to have this set up the right way and bring your offensive coordinator in here. That was the offensive coordinator at the Denver Broncos, head coach at the Denver Broncos. We're going to bring him in there before we even get you here, so we got it all ironed out for you, right?
Right.
The pressure is on Aaron Rodgers and the New York Jets, period. People are picking them to win the Super Bowl, right? It ain't no pressure on me, Shay. They could cut me tomorrow. You gave me 250 M's guaranteed. I ain't worried about it. It ain't no pressure what Deshaun Watson does. Number two, nobody's expecting Deshaun Watson to take this team to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. You talking to Joey B's, you talking to Patty Mahomes, they even talking to Justin Herbert's, you know? But for Aaron Rodgers, they are talking Super Bowl or bust up there.
But Jay,
you are the missing piece.
I gotta cut you off though, Jay, because let's not, allow Deshaun Watson to lower the bar for us and then watch him jump over a lower bar. Remember who Deshaun Watson is.
Oh,
remember who he was.
There you go.
He led the entire National Football League in passing yards the last time we saw him play a full season. Mm-hmm. It didn't amount to anything. They went 4-12, the Houston Texans did. Remember who the Cleveland Browns were right before Deshaun Watson. While Deshaun was simultaneously leading the league in passing yards, the Cleveland Browns had a coach of the year, Kevin Stefanski, that year. They went 11-5. With Baker Mayfield, they won a playoff game. With Baker Mayfield, they won a playoff game. So what the Browns were thinking, well, if we add one of the best quarterbacks in football, a top five quarterback at the time, mm-hmm. to one of the best teams in football, the Cleveland Browns, then that is Super Bowl as well. Not to mention, we have a coach who just won Coach of the Year. Mm-hmm. The reason I cut you off, James, is because we got to remember the Cleveland Browns were an 11-5 football team mm-hmm. with Baker Mayfield, led by a Coach of the Year who didn't have a quarterback. Insert quarterback, then the Cleveland Browns, in theory, are supposed to be what we are all claiming the Jets are supposed to yeah. be, Slick. Mm-hmm. I think Deshaun has pressure, like Shady said as
I
well.
I got a question for both of you two real quick.
Yes, sir.
Both of these teams right here, both these quarterbacks stay healthy. Both of these teams finish the season 6-11.
Oh,
who getting talked about the most?
Rodgers.
Why?
The bigger name.
Because the most pressure is
name.
On Aaron Rodgers and the New York Jets. This is, if the New York Jets and Robert Saleh and Aaron Rodgers don't get to the playoffs and make a deep run in the playoffs, they could be looking at new coach. Mm. Right? The pressure is on the Jets
I gotta
to
get,
make sure this thing
slick
goes.
Good slick in there.
How many times have we talked about Deshaun Watson and the Cleveland Browns on this show? On this show.
Not enough. I can't give you time,
but not enough. How many times have we talked about New York Jets and Aaron Rodgers? Mm.
Just about every day.
Constantly mm. since he went to New York.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is the bigger market, right?
Of course. Sure.
Which one has the bigger expectations? And let's not forget, okay, yeah, Deshaun Watson is making nice bank, but it's guaranteed bank.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Rodgers isn't exactly scuffing along at $50 million
not at all.
Per.
Not at all.
He's nice.
And he's
nice.
The guy who's the two-time MVP.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at it, and I don't know. This is the thing. Whether you think it's make the playoffs and win a playoff game or it's go to the Super Bowl or whatever, well, there's a certain parameter for what is expected from the New York Jets.
Yeah.
I don't know what's expected from the Cleveland Browns. I don't know where the bar is set. You said that he lowered the bar. Yes, they got him and thought they were building a Super Bowl team because of the talent that they had when he got there, right?
They thought it was built.
Okay.
They thought it was built.
But then,
they got a lot of talent. A lot of talent over there.
But then,
on both sides of the ball.
Okay, but then Cleveland, the Browns did what the Browns always do. Somehow it comes apart.
The reason why I think that Deshaun Watson played so bad last year that...
Yeah.
Hold on.
No.
You're putting last year on him?
But whoa.
He played half the season.
But when we watched him play, right? He looked bad.
Very bad. Very bad.
So I think that's why we're tricking ourselves. Oh, there's no pressure on him. Deshaun Watson was a mother. He was a beast.
Say what you need to say.
3 years in a row, Pro Bowls. Led the league in passing yards. Like, Deshaun Watson is that guy. Let's not misconstrue that a little bit.
I agree with what you're saying.
It's just so lately, recently, we watched him play. He looked bad.
Yep.
So we kind of dropping his level where he should be at. Nah, Deshaun Watson, one of these dudes.
Mm-hmm.
I remember we played at 19, won a championship with the Chiefs.
Yep.
And we played against the Texans.
Yep.
He was on fire. Bang, 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 bang. Now we came back and won the game. But he was like, damn, this dude is for real. So,
let's
put some more respect on his name a little bit.
For me, the Deshaun Watson bar is up
here. Come on, he liked
that. The only reason why I'm saying it's no pressure is last year when we all watched him play, especially as you played the game, no training camp, then you missed 10 more games.
Yeah,
so for me, I'm looking at it like, you know, Watson working his way back in this thing,
mm-hmm.
right? I'm with a new coach, new system, new guys, all that. Yeah. I'm only able to play five,
anyone
six
there for a while.
I'm working my way back in this thing.
Yeah.
Aaron had his worst year, played every single game. And now you're still
See, I gotta give Aaron some games. He didn't look the same, but some of that wasn't always his fault.
I'm not saying it was. I'm just saying record. I'm saying the way he looked, MVP,
numbers,
Aaron Rodgers, Aaron. He didn't play his best football, and he still got everything he wanted from the Jets, the Jets, and he's supposed to be.
What about this though, Slick? What about this though, Jay? If you kick up all the dust in the world, like Deshaun Watson did on the field. Remember, Deshaun Watson, before any of the accusations off the field, he wasn't trying to practice. He was holding in. Remember,
he
was trying to get out of there. If you do all that to get out of there, you better go deliver. Remember what Jalen Ramsey did in Jacksonville? Jalen Ramsey had a back, had a hamstring, yeah. missed a practice here, missed a practice
I ain't
there.
Playing.
He went to Los Angeles, was an all-pro couple times, and like Shady is holding up that ring finger for no coincidental reason, Jalen Ramsey got himself a ring. Yeah. And then he dipped out of L.A., and he's gone to Miami. Jalen Ramsey, he kicked up dust in Jacksonville, got to L.A., got a $100 million deal, highest in the history for a cornerback, and he delivered in the most maximal way. A number one defense while he was in Los Angeles, and he won a championship.
Good point.
Deshaun Watson, in my mind, has to do a similar thing. Mm-hmm. He kicked up dust in Houston. Again, I'm exclusively talking about on the field. He kicked up dust in Houston. He went to Cleveland. If you go to Cleveland and get the highest paid money in the history of the position, I need to see you deliver in a similar fashion.
Okay, but he wasn't, when he kicked up dust, it was to get out of Houston.
Yes,
right?
sir.
You get out of there.
It wasn't necessarily to go to Cleveland.
Sure.
He ended up going to Cleveland because he couldn't turn down the money. Yeah. You guys are going to give me what?
That's how it works. That's how it normally works.
Understood. But it kind of changes the dynamic of, I can't get it done in Houston. I'm going someplace to get it done. Oh, wait a minute. Cleveland? You're paying me that much? The reason that he left and went to Cleveland shifted a little bit. And by the way, he wasn't the only one kicking up dust. Didn't Aaron Rodgers? isn't he under the same? And didn't he pick specifically, like, the Jets is where I want to go?
Sure.
So, I don't see any more pressure on Deshaun as a result of how he got to Cleveland.
Wait, what's wrong with Cleveland?
What's wrong with Cleveland?
That's a good team. That's a talented team now.
It is a talented team now, and yet, historically, what's wrong with Cleveland?
I'm just saying, playing for them right now, this year or last year, that team is a really, really good team.
They've had really good,
both sides
they've
of the
had
ball.
Good teams and expectations before and have never lived up to them.
But I think it's the quarterback. You guys hit on it.
Baker Mayfield to Deshaun Watson, like, that's a huge upgrade.
You guys hit on it early. Y'all first time y'all touched on it, y'all hit it on the nose. You see that dude right there? Look behind you. And then look at the dude in the green helmet. You see that gray on the chin?
Mm-hmm.
He don't have time.
Yeah.
He don't have time. He got a little bit more time than him.
He got a little less time.
It's pressure. It's time to go get Super Bowl number two right now.
Let me ask you this. As we talk about this, what's more fascinating to me, and I recall being asked, if you're ever having a hard time delineating a situation, ask yourself, like, who would you rather be? If you're watching a fight, right, and you don't know who's going on the scorecard, ask yourself, hey, which fighter would you rather be?
Ask me.
So, Shady, let me ask you, who's more likely to succeed, Deshaun Watson or Aaron Rodgers? We've talked pressure, but who do you think is more likely to have success this season?
You know, even though I truly think that the Browns offense is better than the Jets offense.
Team-wise.
You talking team? I mean, this is what I see. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with A-Rod, though. I think A-Rod is the better quarterback. I think he's more proven. I think he has something to prove, too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a different A-Rod. I never seen him. You played with him, but I never seen A-Rod just coming to camp, being cool to all the guys.
Yeah.
I watched him all last year talk bad about all the young wide receivers.
It's a different mode.
Now, over there, it's like he want to be there. And I remember myself from playing with the Eagles, loving the Eagles, to going to the Bills. It was like, I don't want to be here, but they want me here. They're happy to see me here.
Yep.
I'm happy to be here. You know? And we played better, so I'm going to go with A-Rod for that, for that case right there.
I mean, you guys already know who I'm going with. I'm going with my guy. And the main reason is I have not played with Deshaun Watson. I'm a fan of Watson. Watson is a heck of a quarterback. We know that.
Watson good.
But every time AR-8, it was AR-12, but every time AR-8 stepped in the huddle, I'm like, he going to make the right play.
Hmm.
That's just how we feel. I don't care what the score looking
the
like.
Playoffs.
I don't care what it is.
I'm joking.
He gonna make the right play, even in the playoffs. We might have lost or whatnot, but when he came in there, But when he came in there and he said, "Hey, check it here, strong right," we like he gonna make the right
it's
play.
It's time.
You know what I'm saying?
Man.
So for me, I just feel like as a quarterback, AR-8 is the better quarterback.
What about
he gonna make the Jets?
What about the fact, though, Jay, last year so many times he made the wrong play? You recall, I'm sure you watched all his games.
Yeah.
Detroit Lions, throwback pass. You throw it short. You
Hand
try to
off.
Throw it back, I believe, to a tackle. You throw it short,
Bakhtiari.
Aiden Hutchinson, rookie interception.
Yeah.
Last game of the season versus the Detroit Lions, I think maybe he was trying to throw a dig or some pass in there, gets intercepted. Yeah. More often, I usually agree with you, but last year we saw Aaron Rodgers make the wrong play time and
and time again.
Yeah.
You still have that same confidence.
Well, I mean, if I'm on this show with you and you had 3-4 bad shows, I say, Acho's still my dude, man. He's still like that on the TV. That's how I feel about 12. Mm. Even if it's the wrong play coming up, when he's stepping that huddle again, I'm looking at him because I done seen it so many times.
So
you know what I'm saying?
Times.
Year after year, play after play, he going to get the job done.
Very well said. Slick.
And that's why you hear the comments last time we was on the show about them Jets players talking because they see him, you know?
I'm going with Deshaun Watson. Okay. Whether it's individual statistics or it's team success, I think we are sleeping on the Cleveland Browns and their ability. And maybe we are overhyping the New York Jets just a little bit. Because to Shady's point, the offensive weapons that he has around him, like the New York Jets might have similar talent, but it is not proven.
It's not proven.
Amari Cooper is proven. Woo. Chubb is proven.
Chubb is proven.
We have forgotten just how good Deshaun Watson is. Now, hearing you guys initially, I think you haven't totally forgotten it. But the year that that Aaron won MVP in 2020, which was the last full year that Deshaun played, their numbers are incredibly comparable. He was right there and actually threw for more yards.
That 48.5 looked good, though.
48.5.
My God. That's like Madden right there. Jeez. Come on, 48.5.
That is crazy. God.
So you're giving me Deshaun Watson at age 27,
yes,
who's already been in Cleveland for a year to get familiar, man, as opposed to Aaron, who's still going to have to, like, find his way in New York with new pieces, right? The defense in New York is better, but Cleveland's defense is no joke. I think they will be better this year.
Got guys.
The offense is more proven, and normally I would say, well, yeah, but the AFC North.
Man.
And I'm like, well, wait a minute. The AFC East is going to be a beast, too.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
And if you look at the Jets' schedule,
it's
coming
tough
out of the gate,
yeah,
oh, yeah. I really think that things are stacked against the Jets, and we're talking about them. Like, normally you'd look at it and go, there's no chance. Jets are going to be better than the Browns. I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Browns.
But I think if you take a deeper dive, it looks a little bit different.
Well, we will take a deep dive into one of the most intriguing relationships in all of sports. Chris Paul, Draymond Green, two alphas on the same team. Historically, they have beef, but can they put it aside to win a championship? I am not convinced. That's next on Speak. Remember, you can check us out every day on the Fox Sports Channel on Sirius XM.
Greetings, soccer fans. Are you ready for the 2023 FIFA Women's World Cup? Because we are. That's right. Australia, New Zealand, look out. State of the Union is coming.
Off the post and in!
And we'll be going above and beyond down under. We'll have new podcast episodes every single match day. So follow Alexi Lawless's State of the Union on the Fox app, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Okay, what matters in Golden State right now is how these two superstar future Hall of Fame teammates will get along. CP3, he's played a part of Big Threes before, but not the Warriors' Big Three. Now, Chris Paul, Draymond Green, they will join forces. Well, Draymond did not hold back when he talked about his new teammate. Take a listen.
I publicly said I didn't like Chris before. Like, I'm just not going to be like, oh, man, that changed. Now he's my teammate. No, I look forward to talking amongst men.
Draymond looks forward to talking amongst men. Well, let's talk.
Let's talk
amongst men. I don't think that Draymond Green and CP3 can nor will coexist.
Ooh.
I don't think it's a matter of if they will have friction. I think it's a matter, Shady, of when they will have friction, because friction will happen. It is hard to put that many alphas in one room. Just because you are a great player does not mean you are an alpha. We have seen plenty of great players not necessarily be alphas. But Chris Paul, Draymond Green, two alphas. Not to mention Steph Curry in there. The reason I don't think that they will coexist is because Draymond don't back down. That's what makes Draymond great. I recall a 2020 interview that I want you all to take a listen to. Draymond Green speaking about Chris Paul.
I don't like CP at all. Like, we don't have a good relationship at all. I'm kind of watching like, yo, he kind of rock with you, Steph, but he kind of don't. He kind of keeping you at bay. And so I took it upon myself to try to create division there.
I took it upon myself
I love Draymond.
Yeah.
How you gonna like Draymond? I love that for Draymond.
I love it for him. I don't love it if that's your teammate.
But yo, the way you talking about this as if they were teammates back then. We were rivals. Imagine the Briggs rivalry or something like that, and we going against each other. You and the opposite, you the ops. It's gonna be like that. Mm-hmm. Then we on the same team, that's out the window. The same thing that pissed me off what you was doing. Now you could do that to somebody else. We're on the same team. So I can see them getting along. Draymond's 33, Chris Paul's 38, right? Both got children. Both are doing a lot of different things business-wise outside of basketball. Mm-hmm. Some good dudes. That lets me know that, yo, they can work this thing out to win championships. Chris, you never won a championship, bro. You got a lot of talent. You got a lot of veteran IQ we can use. Draymond, listen, we need somebody like you because we win championships here. That's the only thing that matters. We got rid of the young, immature 23-year-old, Jordan Poole. We sent him to Washington. You know what I'm saying? He going to get a whole bunch of shots over there. But when in Golden State, we want to win championships. Yeah. So we believe all that other stuff outside and inside, we win games.
Slick, my issue is this. Shady's first sentence while he was imitating Draymond Green's conversation with Chris Paul.
Yes.
If Draymond were to borrow even that first sentence disruption, what did Shady say? Chris, you've never won a championship, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Let Draymond Green say that to Chris Paul.
No. That's me saying that. That's me saying, listen, dog. You have never did this before. Let us show you how we do it up in the Bay. We win championships, and you want to be part of this.
I feel it.
And then Draymond needs him. Like, one thing about it is they need each other, though. If Chris is off the bench or starting, they need each other because I watched it with Iguodala. Iguodala was such a big part of that team. If he's not there as a sixth man, they do not win at all. So Chris Paul, for the Warriors to win these games and go to championships like they've been doing, they're going to need Chris Paul.
You know, is it on you, Slick?
No.
Go ahead.
The more I think about it, the more I think this is a perfect marriage.
Mm. Perfect marriage.
Mm.
Because they are so alike. Not just in terms of where they are in their lives,
yep.
In terms of being parents
and, really good.
And all that, but also how they came up. Like, what are the things that make Chris Paul?
Chip on his shoulder.
Chip on his shoulder.
Yeah.
Right? Basketball IQ.
Yep.
And when you want to say pushing the envelope or a little bit dirty, however you want to phrase that, right?
He is a little dirty. You right?
Okay. Oh. Okay. What about Draymond?
Oh, you already know.
Chip on his shoulder, second-round pick.
And a little dirty,
not
right?
A little dirty, yeah.
Pushing the envelope a lot.
Yeah, right.
And high basketball IQ.
Yeah.
These guys come from the same place, and I think there is going to be a genuine appreciation. Oh, dog. It's going to be the Spider-Man meme.
Kick him in the nuts. Like,
and I understand why he did what he did back in 2020, because it was Chris Paul coming at his dude. That's my dude. Mm-hmm. And Chris Paul, you're not showing him respect, but I also understand why Chris Paul was doing it. This guy's coming from my crown. Mm-hmm. Like, he's being anointed the next guy. You don't think Draymond Green, when he heard Dylan Brooks started, I want to be the next Draymond Green. Dude, get out.
Yeah, right.
Get out of here. He reacted the same way Chris Paul did to Steph Curry. So
good point, yeah.
I just see too many similarities to think that these guys, I get you, you know, like you got to kind of decide who's going to lead, but I see too many similarities to think that they're not going to find a way to make it work.
When we was in the meeting, I said, man, this ain't going to be no problem. And then I hear it.
Where you at now, my dog? Where you at
and
now,
And then
Jay?
I hear it. This is a problem, right? Listen, and this is why. Shady, if I'm on another team,
right,
and I say, I don't like Shady, period. I don't rock with him. I'm trying to make division. Hey, that's basically saying, me and you ain't like that, Shady. You are the ops, like you just said, right?
All right.
Now that I walk in there, it's what up. But I still ain't fooling with you.
Yeah.
That's just, at least that's how I am. If I know you don't like me, I'm going to be a professional and handle my business on the basketball court. But I wish you would talk to me crazy.
Just once.
Talk to me like you may have talked to Jordan Poole because Jordan Poole was a young player and not accomplished like me. I wish you would look at me some type of way because I did this type of stuff on the basketball court. I wish you would, like, that is going to be a problem.
So with professionalism, right? Let me ask you this for a second.
even if we have that tension with each other, you gonna respect me because who I am, the way I play, right? Mm-hmm. And I will respect you. If we can just respect each other, what's the problem with us? With us playing with each other?
But the problem,
even if we don't kick it,
the problem is what Slick just said.
What he said?
The personalities are so the same. I'm a leader. When I'm on the court, I'm a leader. It's kind of my way. This is how, like you said, this is how we've been doing things as a warrior.
Yeah.
And right. I don't care what anybody says. If you know a dude said those type comments and he don't like you, and now he just gonna like you overnight because you on your team? No, he's not just gonna like you overnight, but he will work with you.
Work with you.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I remember, Shady, you might even not even recall this because you're on the offensive side of the ball. It was 2014, playing for the Eagles. Next to my locker, to my left, Brandon Boykin. Brandon Boykin, second in the league in interceptions out of the nickel. Walter Thurman played for the Seahawks at the time. I recall on social media, he played opposite. He played in a slot. Sherm was on the outside. Yeah. Brandon Brown was on the outside. Okay, Walter Thurman was part of the first Legion of Boom.
Yeah.
Walter played nickel.
Yeah.
Boykin played nickel.
Mm-hmm.
They got into a spat on social media. Thurman was saying he's the best nickel in the league. Boykin was like, I'm the best nickel in the league. Boykin was like, who is Walter Thurman? I don't even know your name. Well, Chip Kelly becomes head coach. Walter Thurman played at Oregon. Chip Kelly trades for Walter Thurman. Mm-hmm. Now, Boykin and Thurman, they on the same team.
Mm.
They right next to me.
Mm.
I'm wondering how this gonna play out. Because they was just beefing on social media. To Shady's point, there was professionalism.
Yes.
Come on now.
They both did the job. They both played at the same time. We moved Thurman from nickel to safety.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a tension.
Because he wasn't better.
There was a tension of like, come on, we know what you said.
Mm-hmm.
We know what you said.
But here's the distinction.
So did they get past it or no? Did they play? Was there
they
any fight?
No fight.
Oh,
they learned
okay.
They learned how to work.
No punch in the face.
No punch in the face.
Oh man, we get somewhere. We get somewhere.
Here's and even better because that was direct. Like you and me are going at it. It's about you and me. Who's better, right?
Right.
And that's our beef. That wasn't the beef here.
But still, what's that?
No. Draymond.
Yes.
Draymond was speaking up on behalf of Steph Curry. Curry.
Yes.
This wasn't him and
both
Chris
videos.
Going, this here.
He played
it's
two
like,
videos.
This is my boy.
Yeah.
Both
yeah.
of them.
Both videos of Steph. Because that second video he played, it clearly said, I do not like Chris Paul. That ain't got nothing to do with Steph Curry.
Let's hear the sound. Run the sound for clarity. Let's hear that sound.
Yo, Chris be acting. Look at what he's acting doing.
I don't like CP at all. Like, we don't have a good relationship at all. I'm kind of watching like, yo, he kind of rock with you, Steph, but he kind of don't. He kind of keeping you at bay. And so I took it upon myself to try to create.
Because that's his point guard.
That's right.
Now,
watch this.
I publicly said I didn't like Chris before. Like, I'm just not going to be like, oh, man, that changed. Now he's my teammate. No, I look forward to talking amongst men.
Yep.
Huge difference. He's saying past tense, I didn't like him.
Yep. Sure.
Yep. Now that we're teammates,
let's iron it out.
No, I don't know if you listened thoroughly enough.
Man.
He said, just because he's my teammate, that didn't change. But I look forward to talking amongst men. So what that means is...
But that's real, though.
Yeah.
Very
if
real.
I don't like you, and then you get traded here, it's like, what's
up? It's not the... doesn't change anything.
But I look to talk to you.
No doubt. But remember what that means. That means he still doesn't currently like him.
Come on.
He said, I didn't like him, and that didn't change.
Can I ask you this?
Talk to him. Just be honest.
Before the Warriors... acquired him, right?
Yep.
For the trade. You think they talked about that with Steph, with Draymond, and Klay Thompson?
100%.
100%.
Yeah.
Because they ain't even had the conversation about if he coming off the bench or starting or not.
No,
Shady, hold on.
That's not for them. What you mean?
That's absolutely not for them, though.
Yeah, well, you had the conversation as we traded Chris, that better had it came up.
So you telling me when they reached out the trade for Chris Paul, you don't think they asked Steph Curry and Draymond Green and Klay Thompson?
I don't think they did. You talking
the
about
the same way how they got Kevin Durant? They go do that.
Guaranteed they did.
The only reason I can't guarantee it is because if you are having that conversation, there must also be a conversation. Dray must be like, where are you gonna play, Coach? He coming off the bench?
We already know that.
Shady, hold on.
Real talk, we talking about things that we already know.
Chris don't know that.
Chris don't want to know that. He know that.
Yeah.
So when he going to start?
Yes.
He going to play point guard.
Chris is like, you guys came over here for me. Y'all better figure out a way to get
know
this
that.
Thing going.
What he said was, listen, we didn't have no camps yet. We didn't have no training camp. We ain't talking about
and who
what's the roles.
What he said was you the coach.
an immediate person that he probably didn't respect.
I agree with that.
Because I'm sure he wouldn't have said that to somebody he respected immediately.
I agree with that as well. But my thought is this, though, 2-5. Chris Paul in his mind is starting.
100%.
Not just because he's Chris Paul, but because of what he said when he responded, are you coaching?
Shady, I got a question for you.
Where are you starting at, though?
Hold on.
The best player in the NBA, one of the top five best players, is a point guard.
He can play off the ball,
too. You move Steph to
the
two.
Who will play defense, then? Who will play defense? So Chris Paul is liability on defense, and so is Steph Curry. Yep. Who will play?
He a liability on defense whether you come off the bench or not. So,
but it's worse now when you got the point guard and the shooting guard. Normally, you can switch off.
I don't disagree with you at all.
Come on, man.
But remember what Steph said last week. Steph said it's on all of us to have those conversations and figure it out.
Sure.
Which means, at least what I am taking from it is, those conversations have yet to be had.
Not collectively. With Chris Paul. Because this is, it's surely, I guarantee you, they talked to Steph. They talked to Trey. They said, hey, look, we can move Jordan for Chris Paul. What do you think? Because Steve Kerr and Joe, like, the entire organization knows the history with Chris Paul. They'd ask Steve Kerr. Chris Paul clowned him. They'd have to ask Steve Kerr, how do you feel about Chris Paul coming in? And he's going to be better for us than Jordan Poole.
And the GM left. Hold on, time out real quick. The GM left. And then Dunleavy came in, right?
Yeah.
He's new at this. This is the first time, really, the main guy. You tell me he not talked to his main stars about the tree move?
I think he talked to Steph, but Shady.
Why wouldn't he talk to Draymond? I think Draymond is the leader of the team. I think Steph is the main guy. Obviously, he makes the train go, but the most vocal leader is Draymond Green.
And you would because of the concern that you have. Because
you know his beef.
Yeah.
Right?
So really quick though, because I mean we jumped on the Chris Paul coming off the bench a little bit because we got into that.
That's a hot topic,
Shady. If I'm over here and you see me on a podcast and I'm like, I don't like Shady McCoy.
Right.
I do not like him.
Right.
Boom, 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 boom. Yep. And then I walk into production meeting today. What up, Shady?
I didn't like him.
But do you say, yes, I didn't like Shady, but I'm looking forward to having that meeting with him.
He said
face to face.
He said, but I still don't.
He said, there's a distinction. There's a difference. He said, I didn't like him before, and just because we're teammates doesn't mean I'm going to. That opens the door to, let's see if it's different once we talk.
Agreed.
But yeah, but.
Oh, Shady, really quick.
To me, that's being sincere.
This is why I'm getting into that. What am I going to tell you why I didn't like you? Number one. Hold on. Number two, that's how you're going to be looking at me, just like that, because of what I said on these podcasts. I know I said I ain't like you and this and that and all of that, and now all of a sudden I like you because I'm having this conversation with you?
Because you know why? Like, as men, especially as strong black men, as athletes, we don't talk things out. I'm being honest. There's certain players I play with that I ain't like.
Because there's certain stuff.
I ain't like the way his style was.
I ain't like the way he talked.
I ain't really talk to him, but till I spoke to him, like man to man, like dang, I don't know why I thought that about you. You're a solid dude.
A lot of it be
from competition.
But that's you to yourself. Hey. That's not you to the world, though, Shady.
We gotta get back to this.
I know. You guys like beef a little bit.
One thing. Can I get one thing?
Say it.
Strong white men talk like that.
Hey, look, I'm a strong black man. My bad, Slick. I just talk for my people.
Coming up, the NFC North. It is wide open. Packers, Vikings, Lions, Bears. Who is going to take the divisional crown now that Rodgers is gone? Is it going to be the Vikings holding the throne? Will Justin Fields arise? The Detroit Lions, they are up and coming. That is next on Speak. Let's get to it.
What was Kirk Cousins' little thing? Like that?
You like that?
You like that?
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here, and I am so happy to announce my new interview series, The Joel Klatt Show Big Noon Conversations. Every Monday, we will bring you a candid conversation with the most influential voices in college football. From Colorado's Coach Prime to Coach Saban down in Tuscaloosa, we sit down and discuss all things college football. Download The Joel Klatt Show Big Noon Conversations wherever you get your podcasts, and subscribe to the new Joel Klatt Show YouTube channel.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $20 on the steel MS-162 or MS-170 chainsaw. Real steel.
Offer valid through June 30th, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
My favorite thing to do on TV is to rank NFL position groups, to rank NFL players, to rank NFL teams. Now, the most contentious division in all of football this year will likely be the NFC North. The Vikings, the Packers, the Lions, the Bears. So much up, so much down, so many highs, so many lows. I'm going to give you the order of the teams that I think they will finish in the North. At number one, everybody is doubting them, but I believe the Minnesota Vikings will once again win the NFC North. Remember how good they were last year, and that was the first year under new head coach Kevin O'Connell. If you watched Quarterback on Netflix, you see that Kirk Cousins, he wasn't fully comfortable with the system. Well, now that he has another year of that system under his belt, I believe that they will maintain their position atop the throne. At number two, the Detroit Lions. Things have been building in Detroit in large part because of their new head coach and the confidence that has been instilled in Jared Goff. I think the Lions will continue that trend upwards, and it will land them at second in the North. At the third best team in the North, I believe Justin Fields, he's going to have to show up, and he's going to have to show out this upcoming year. But it will be hard to surpass the Lions and the Vikings because of just how far ahead those two teams are. And lastly, it's the Green Bay Packers. For me, the departure of Jordan Love, it is significant. Vikings 1, Lions 2, Bears 3, Packers 4. But I got to bring in the former Green Bay Packer to see the list that he has. Where you at, Jay?
You know what? I almost just walked off the stage right now because I see my pack at number 4. Just disrespectful.
I'm sorry.
To the Packers that have been owning this division. I don't care if Aaron Rodgers is there or not. We've been owning this division
where you for at, the last Jay? Where decade. Your list at?
My number 1 is your number 4. It is the Green Bay Packers, Jordan Love. Listen, we're going to get back Rashawn Gary, right? We got our first rounder in that's coming off the edge. Our defense is built up to stop people. So it's not all on Jordan Love. We're going to give Kirk Cousins a heck of a time. We're going to give the Bears, Justin Fields a heck of a time, and we dang sure going to give the Lions a heck of a time. The Green Bay Packers will win this division. Trust me. And then next, up and coming. Hey, Jared Goff is playing at a high level. They are putting more and more weapons around him as the days go on, right? I love what they're doing over there. Dan Campbell, love what he's doing. They are going to play some really good football. They are going to be in a lot of football games. They usually lose those close games. I think they're going to find ways to win those close games this year, and they're going to put themselves in a really good spot to make the playoffs. And then Justin Fields.
He's got to show up.
I am super, super high on Justin Fields. He has 3 really good receivers over there. Potential-wise, you talking Chase Claypool, you talking Mooney, and obviously you trade for more. Those are 3 good receivers that can get open and make plays for you. And not only that, you make plays with your legs. You have a really good running game back there. So for me, he has to wheel his team to 10 victories.
Okay.
He has to get them there, and I think he will. And then last but not least, listen, Shady, running backs matter, bro. Give me some. I know they can't see you. Give me some. Dalvin Cook is gone. You know who that hurts? It hurts Kirk Cousins. Sure. You know who else it hurts? Arguably the best receiver in football in somebody's opinion, because now when we get off the bus, we are not stopping Dalvin Cook. We are stopping Justin Jefferson. A bunch of the big-time plays that Justin Jefferson made, you know where it came off? Hold on. It came off of this. That is play-action pass. We are not coming down on play-action pass no more. We are double-teaming Justin Jefferson.
I got a question.
Talk to me.
If
I'll
I can, Jib Op, can we please take the angle a little bit higher? And can we shoot down a little bit lower? Because I'm confused that you're wearing purple shoes.
I knew you was going to that.
But you got purple people eaters last.
I knew I was putting them at the bottom, so it just sway right into my shoes, man. That's what happens. No, for real, man. Hey, I got the purple on because purple is a swagged out color. But listen, Dalvin Cook gone.
He is.
That's 1,100 the last 3 seasons.
That's there.
Right? That's passes out of the backfield. That's saying if you double team Justin Jefferson, we going to tote it.
Yeah.
Right? So Justin Jefferson, Kirk, because this going to hurt both of them with my man Dalvin Cook gone. I think they're going to finish last.
Let's head back to the desk because the question I have for you, Slick, first and foremost,
when you think about
the NFC North and you think about all the teams in it, who do you think is the best team in the NFC North?
Roster-wise, I think it's pretty clear. It's the Detroit Lions. I don't think it's, I mean, if you look across the board offensively, what they have, particularly because of the losses.
Because defensively.
But defensively, that's where they added the most from last year. If I'm looking at last year's defense, I agree with you. But they have a brand new secondary. There's C.J. Gardner-Johnson they brought over, yeah. Emmanuel Sutton.
Of a player. Yeah.
I mean, Cameron Sutton, Emmanuel Mosley. Like, they redid their entire secondary, and all those guys are in their prime. So, look. The only case I could make for Green Bay
really is, good defense. They're going to play some defense.
No, is their schedule. I mean, if I look, yeah. I think this is going to be a very competitive.
Play who on the schedule?
Very competitive division. And so schedule, they have without question the easiest schedule. But I am completely off the Vikings. I mean, they won so many one-score games last year.
Yes, they did.
Your point, lost Dalvin Cook, Adam Thielen, Za'Darius Smith. Mm. Not the same team.
Oh, my God.
I forgot about the Za'Darius.
Why are we so high on the Bears, though? I noticed that they were number three on your list.
Yeah.
And on your list. I'm thinking, like, what tells you that? Why? Because, I mean.
The quarterback mattered, man. And I'm a Justin Fields fan. If you turn on the tape.
I watch tape on him.
And you watch Justin Field when Justin Field is at his best. Does he need to get more consistent? Absolutely. And that is on the coaches, right? A lot of stupid turnovers at times, forcing stuff, trying to make plays for your football team.
Right?
Okay. But if he can eliminate them takeaways, and Justin Fields, when he's playing at a high level, he the best quarterback in that division, and it's not even questioned.
Whoa.
Wait, when we return, we don't turn on the
Come
tape.
On.
Because
Come
we got on. The tape to turn on.
Come on.
And he just said Justin Fields was the best quarterback in that division.
When he's playing
That's
at his highest
division
level.
That got
yes,
Pro
sir.
Bowlers in it.
I see him.
We going to talk about that. What
crazy,
are realistic
man.
Expectations for Justin Fields? What are they for the Chicago Bears? Can we do that after the break? That's what we going to do. When we return, we going to get to it.
Wow.
And that was pretty wild. I got the tape, though. I got the tape.
Please tell me you got some of his good plays in there.
The world's best skateboard, BMX, and MotoX athletes are heading to X Games California to compete for gold. Download the free Caffeine TV app to watch all the best tricks on the X Games channel. You can tune in to catch Tony Hawk, Salema, Nyjah Houston, Sky Brown, and more live from July 21st through July 23rd. And watch on demand anytime after.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, save $30 on the American-made steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Yeah,
hey, they wanted to talk tape. We just got to start with the tape, Shady.
Show the tape.
We just got to show the tape. Justin Fields' ceiling, it is incredibly high, but he got to eliminate some of these plays. First and foremost, this is what I want y'all to look at. Look at the score and look at the time. It's 27-24 Atlanta Falcons. I'll give y'all history. The score was 17-17. Then the Falcons went down and scored. They made it 24-17. Yep. The Bears went down and scored. They made it 24-24. The Falcons went down and scored. They made it 27-24. Okay, it's 24-27. Justin Fields, you got two timeouts. You got a minute 14. What you gonna do? Whatever you do, protect the football. Now, you have a position right here to dump it off to David Montgomery. If everybody else is covered, dump it off to David Montgomery. If you don't want to do that, Justin Fields, just go ahead and run. You do that better than any quarterback in my mind outside of Lamar Jackson. But what you cannot do under any circumstance is throw the ball late, because David Montgomery, he is still ready and available. But under no circumstance can you throw it late, and if you do throw it late, you can't throw it high, because now the ball is intercepted. Now, what I just told y'all is Justin Fields, if you want to hit Montgomery, hit Montgomery. That's cool. It's Gucci. If you want to run, go ahead and run. It's all good. But under no circumstance can you throw it late and can you throw it high, because James, in defensive meeting rooms, we say tips and overthrows. You got to get those. You said turn on the tape.
Oh, was he hurt? Oh, now he hurt.
I didn't want to turn on the tape because if you turned on the tape last year, you saw too much of this. I do believe that Justin Fields will take his game to the next level. Ooh. Justin Fields has to take his game to the next level. The question is, in what urgency will Justin Fields take his game to the next?
You guys did JJ dirty.
No, they didn't do me dirty because, you know, at the end of the day, they had one play already pulled up of a bad play, right? But I got plenty of them in my head of Justin Fields balling, right? And dropping balls into certain spots and certain situations for his receivers only to get it. And I've seen him make plays over 1,000 yards with his legs. His ceiling is way up there.
True. I agree with that.
If he plays to what his ceiling is, I don't care what the tape showed last year, he's the best quarterback in the North.
Throw the tape away.
Period. Throw that play away. Throw the tape away. Show his good play.
Throw the tape away from last year. Look at this tape on. That was crazy, though.
Jay, here's a phenomenal conversation. I love doing the show, Slick. You've covered the sport for 30 years. Mm-hmm. Shady, you played it for 12. You won two Super Bowls. Jay, you played it for 9. You won a Super Bowl. Jay, what made Aaron Rodgers and makes Aaron Rodgers so good is this. He's the best protector of the football in the history of the game of football.
No question.
We showed earlier in the day, in case y'all missed it and are just joining us, Aaron Rodgers in his MVP season, his most recent one, 48 touchdowns and just 5 interceptions.
Crazy.
What makes Aaron Rodgers so great is not his ceiling. Yeah. It's that his floor is incredibly high. Sure. Remember what Aaron Rodgers said? My worst seasons are your best seasons. Mm-hmm.
He told the truth in that.
He told the truth in that. You know what's crazy
is the young fella's just getting going. And I know last time I was on the show, me and Shady got into a little conversation, you know what I'm saying, because that's my dog. We got into a little conversation about Dak and Josh Allen, right? But we tend to praise Josh Allen so much, and he turned the ball over more times than any quarterback in the National Football League since he came in the National Football League. You got what I'm saying? But when we talk Josh Allen, we don't never talk that, you know what I'm saying, because of his ceiling, what we've seen him do with his legs, with his arm, with the throws. Justin Fields has showed you that. Mm. Not as consistent as Josh Allen yet. Mm. You know, because he's a young player, but he showed you those type plays. And now it's up to the coaches to eliminate those plays that you just showed. Yeah. Second year with Coach Luke Getsy. You got to get those gone.
But he sent up the excuse already.
I didn't.
He keeps talking about all his mistakes is for the coaches to get rid of that.
Yeah.
So if it happens this year, he's going to say the coach, they didn't coach him up.
Bruh, everybody says Brian Daboll had Josh Allen. That's all everybody says.
But what isn't, and we're waiting on the positive play because I do want to allude to it. What is the biggest knock on Josh Allen? Remember Josh Allen, his playoff appearance versus the Houston Texans. All of a sudden, he just throws the ball in the air. He takes a terrible sack.
Crazy.
Josh Allen, he can get crazy. He gets wild at times. I don't disagree with you on Justin Fields. I think Justin Fields' ceiling is incredibly high. But when I think about quarterbacks, I'm only concerned with your floor. If you can go out there and turn the ball over expeditiously, I'm concerned with that. Coaches can do a lot, America.
Concerned with Josh and the turnovers.
I am. That's why I believe Joe Burrow's better than Josh Allen, because I trust Joe Burrow to just stay here.
Yeah.
That's why I like Jalen Hurts so much, because I just trust Jalen Hurts. Mm-hmm. He's just going to stay here. Mm-hmm. I do believe that Dak Prescott's highs, we have seen them be higher than even that of Jalen Hurts's. But Jalen Hurts, just give me this. Just every game, give me 300 total yards, 350 total yards, 3 total touchdowns, and 0-1 turnover. Just every game, just give me that. But, and that's what Jalen Hurts did last year. That's why I trusted him.
But for the sake of this segment, please, can you, don't bring Dak and Josh. Don't put them in the same. Please, not for this one.
I don't know why, though, but we're not talking Dak right now. We're talking Justin Fields.
All right. Shady, what does Justin Fields, like, what are his realistic expectations for you this season in regards to him? How many wins? Is it five? Is it six? From
watching Justin Fields play all last year, right, and he's a young quarterback, I'll put that in consideration. I'm going to say winning 6-7 games will be very, very good for them. I think for him to throw for 3,000 yards. Yeah. I think last year he had like 2,200 or something like that.
Yeah.
So now you add another 800, that's 3,000 yards passing. I'm sure he's going to get another 1,000 yards rushing. So that's a realistic, ideal season for Justin Fields for me.
Yeah, I'm in the same place in terms of all-purpose yards, 4,000 all-purpose yards. Raise up the passing. Let's drop the rushing a little bit. And then 2-1, but this is the most important thing for me. 2-1 TD to interception ratio. Mm-hmm. Get me in the end zone twice as many times as you're coughing up the ball. He hasn't come close to that at this point in his career. And so wherever that is, some of that's going to depend on what the Bears do. But that individually, and then, look, they had, what, 3 wins last year?
Yeah, 3.
You double that anything that or above, you're moving in the right direction, particularly in this division.
Am I being too greedy, fellas, at the desk? Am I being too greedy for wanting a winning season?
Yes. No. Like, yes. Yes.
The reason, Slick, I want a winning season from Justin Fields is at the point in which you have Darnell Mooney, he's been a 1,000-yard receiver in the last 3 years. Chase Claypool, I believe, has been a 1,000-yard receiver in the last 3 years. Plus, DJ Moore has been a 1,000-yard receiver in the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. You use two of your draft picks on running backs. You get a guy out of Texas, you get a guy out of UCLA, some big-name programs historically producing running backs, if nothing else. You have your coach who's now in his second year, your OC who's now in his second year, Justin Fields who's in his third year. Mm-hmm. I do believe that I want to see an exponential jump. I don't just want to see an incremental jump. Jalen Hurts, from his second year to his third year, mm-hmm. went from 9 wins to 14 wins. Mm. Went from not answering every question, but at least we knew he gave us some solutions to mm-hmm. some problems. Mm-hmm. I want to see a similar type of growth from Justin Fields. He didn't have 9 wins like Jalen Hurts did. He had 3. But I need to see something great.
What would their record have to be in the division in order to be 500? What would you see them? If you visualize that, what do you see their record within the division being?
They should split with all the teams.
You go 3-3? I said 4-2. I would want to see them be 4-2. Hard to do.
Yeah, I mean, the other part for me is I think you can win the division, this division. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be one with 10 wins. I don't think Minnesota's going to be up there. I think it's going to be incredibly competitive. Yeah. And so
it's his third year, though. We got to see something for your third year.
You're talking about going from 3 wins to 9?
For me, this is what I want to see
six, right, seven here.
Coach Luke Getsy. Second year with you as an offensive coordinator, right? They brought him over from Green Bay. Mm-hmm. Everybody loved what he did with Aaron Rodgers. He was the quarterback coach over there. You come over there with Justin Fields, right? We've seen Justin Fields at the end of the football season start taking off, start playing football the right way, right? Was it still some plays like you just showed at crucial times in games to where he's making young player mistakes and late with the football? Absolutely, right? But then you go in the offseason, you get him more, right, to go with Mooney, to go with Chase Claypool, right? You draft on the O-line, right? So you've given him an opportunity to go out there and be better, right? He does not have to win the whole game by himself. Now he has weapons. People are going to be open. So with that being said, the playbook is going to open more for him to be able to throw this ball all over the yard. I want to see you make the right decisions, right? I don't want to see you make some of the crazy plays like you made last year to where you trying to scramble, getting out of it, and you throw an interception, and it's okay to punt. Mm-hmm. You got what I'm saying? Number two, this kid is talented enough to get his team to 10 wins. I truly believe that. Mm. With what the Bears have, with Aaron Rodgers gone out of this division, I truly believe that Justin Fields can get his team, as good as he is, to 10 wins.
Here's why I have such a hard time processing.
I had a hard time this whole situation. Go ahead, though.
Joe Burrow, as talented as he was, we saw what he did in Cincinnati, right? His second year, leading that team to a Super Bowl. As talented as everybody believes that Justin Herbert is, you've seen how much he struggled getting his team to 10 wins. As talented as Trevor Lawrence is, you've seen how much he struggled getting his team to 10 wins. I believe Deshaun Watson only has one season with more than 10 wins. Mm. I think he has a 10-win season and an 11-win season. So we've seen very talented quarterbacks. Mm. Those that I would suggest are even more talented than Justin Fields struggle to do what you believe Justin Fields can do. I don't doubt his talent, but I don't doubt his running talent. Now is the time for me to see what can he do as a passer, because Shady said it in jest a lot last year. Justin Fields' passing numbers were atrocious. Mm-hmm. 2,200 yards in a 17-game season. It's like you may be the best mathematician on this show, but I believe that's roughly 150 yards a game.
But, bro, we got to understand.
In the NFL, Slick.
We have to understand, too, though, that.
Oh, here's excuses.
No, they were protecting him. You can't tell me that it wasn't games that he was coming out where he threw the ball 15 times.
This is true.
There's no other quarterbacks in the National Football League throwing the ball 15 times.
Why is that, though?
It's like that because you were the first-year offensive coordinator. You don't really have the weapons. That's why he's running for his life.
So, first of all, what about the trust part?
I trust my quarterback's not going to turn the ball over.
That's a good point.
I feel you.
That's a good point.
So obviously, say that. Don't just leave that out.
Obviously, he did it.
Come
but
on.
He don't have the weapons neither.
You know, another thing I'm learning with him is when it comes to Justin Fields, it's like everybody wants to, like, hide the deficiencies that he has. And my thing is like, yo, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to say that I think some of it's the coaching, right, of having the ability to give him a little bigger playbook and give him different plays to help him out. Because you start seeing they start running him more, quarterback-driven runs. And then they'll talk about the offensive linemen. The line wasn't that bad. I mean, they were running for like
the middle of the pack.
Okay, all right. Everybody like they were just so bad. Huh. Okay, they say he needed some help. They go out there and get some help. So now there should be no excuses why Justin Fields can go out there and produce because he has talent.
Well, Chase Claypool was nowhere to be found last year, and that's the help they brought in for him.
He's a solid wide receiver.
Well,
bro.
Speaking of
and it's crazy. Then hold on, it's crazy that you want to bring up his turnovers. But you don't ever want to bring up the other dude turnovers
because
he's a superstar
Josh
quarterback.
Allen is up here, though.
I don't understand.
What you talking about? It's his game. What do you mean?
How?
Because every year from 2, 3 to 4 years, he's got better and better and better. It's the reason why every year we have him the favorite to win the MVP because he's like that.
So better and better and better.
He's
is
like
the
that.
Most interceptions
he's like
since
that.
You came in.
He's like that.
But he got the most interceptions since he came in. That's all I'm trying to say.
We've seen great quarterbacks get busy passing the ball and throwing picks. Brett Favre is one of them.
I promise you, you can find 15 of those plays you just showed to Justin Fields of Josh Allen on there, too.
Can we leave with the positive play of Justin Fields? Show us. On, can we add Reggie?
Is there one?
I want to leave with the positive play of Justin Fields. Can we do that?
Can we find one?
The NFL internal.
I just want to make sure. Yo, I want to leave. If we're going to go home.
It's a row.
We are going to talk the best new faces in new places.
He the best I've ever seen. I'll tell you that much.
The best help, join the new organizations. That's next on Speed.
You Chris Paul, Draymond Green, don't be a boss.
You
give
him throw that ball, you know he's going to throw that ball.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, family, let's settle in a little bit. Now, a bunch of new names are settling in on their new teams this season. We all know about the big quarterbacks like Aaron Rodgers and Derek Carr joining new teams. But I want to talk about the top five faces and new places that aren't quarterbacks. At number 5, how about Darren Waller? Highest paid tight end Darren Waller joining Daniel Jones in New York. With the help of Brian Daboll, I anticipate that Darren Waller will get back to his top 5 and top 3 receiving tight end form. That's going to be a huge new addition. At number 4, I don't know where he's going to go, but wherever Dalvin Cook goes, expect him to get busy. I anticipate he will join the Miami Dolphins. Wherever Dalvin Cook goes, 4 straight 1,000-yard seasons, expect him to be a dude. Draft him on your fantasy team. And number 3, Javon Hargrave. One of the sneaky biggest additions in all of the NFL this offseason. Javon Hargrave joining the San Francisco 49ers. They desperately needed that 3-technique piece. He had 10 sacks last year. He gonna be a beast. At number 2, this man needs no introduction. Odell. He's a one-namer. Odell Beckham Jr. joining the Ravens. Lamar Jackson. Todd Monken. That is going to be huge for that team. And at number 1, I love this addition most of them all because Jalen Ramsey joining that Dolphins defense, it's going to be huge for that team. They lacked defensively last year, and now they will make up for what they were missing. Jalen Ramsey opposite Xavier Howard. That is going to be a lethal combination. Well, Slick, what is your favorite face in the newest place? What's the biggest addition for you?
Has to be Javon Hargrave. Mm. And I don't know that it's that sneaky. I mean, I'm just thinking about this. You have the number 1 defense from last year. You have the number 1 sack leader in the league. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to line up Javon Hargrave next to him? And offensively, you got to figure out how to keep those dudes at bay.
Yeah.
I mean, that combination, to me, I just like, you know, we love watching offense, right? We love the entertainment of that. Man, I cannot wait to see the schemes that Steve Wilks comes up with. in order to take advantage of those two guys. I'm going to be watching them defensively as much as I watch them on offense.
Brilliantly said. 2-5.
I hate to do this, but I got to be honest.
Be honest.
Stephon Gilmore going to the Cowboys. I like it. I always watch, like, when teams make different moves, right, and why do they do it? Mm. Well, the top team in the NFC is no joke, no secret.
Yeah.
It's the Eagles.
Yeah.
They got some wide receivers.
Dogs.
Devontae Smith, and then you get A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
So now we got Trayvon Diggs on one side, and then you got Stephon Gilmore on the other side. Yeah. You got Michael Parsons that's getting to the quarterback. Yeah. That was a great job the Cowboys did that.
No doubt.
Matched the pass rush with the cornerback, so I give them that's probably the best move, I think, in the offseason so far.
That's really well said. Where you at, Jay?
Man, listen, this dude missed all last year. But I'm telling you right now, he is going to be a problem this year, and that is Calvin Ridley.
Ooh.
When this is all said and done this season, Calvin Ridley is an absolute problem. When you talk about receiver play, and that is route running, that is releases, that is catching the ball, that is making tough catches, Calvin Ridley has the whole package.
Here, one thing, though, Jay, talk is cheap, big dog. I'd rather you show me than tell me, big dog.
I'm going to show you this, too.
Tell me. I'm going to work the iPad from the seat. You work the audience from standing.
I got you.
Where you at, big dog?
All right, check it. We can all see Calvin Ridley right here. Yes, sir, circling for me. This is Casey. Circle Casey for me, too. 26 Casey Hayward Jr., Pro Bowl cornerback. He is an absolute problem. As a receiver, let me tell you something. As a receiver, you want to make every route look the same. You can't give DBs no clue or they run the route for you. So right here, run the tape for me, Acho. Right here, little Hezzy, come off full speed, pause it for me. Shoulders vertical, coming straight downhill at him, in and out of your break. It don't matter if you run 4-3. It don't matter if you run 4-7. You make it look the same, and you in and out of your break, you will catch the ball. Play it for me. Right here. Right here. Woo. Coming off the ball, full speed, in and out of break, ball on the money, catch. But I want to show you another play of Calvin Ridley because this is why he is so special. As we run this,
Let me find this other one.
Look at this right here. Same formation, we in a tight split. We are going to come off the ball the same. Strictly vertical to make you think nothing. See, I just taught you something. That's why we come off the ball vertical, because we don't want you to think nothing, Shady. I'm coming at you like this. You don't know if it's out. You don't know if it's in. You don't know if it's hitch and go. You don't know what it is. That's what Calvin Ridley does right here, running for me. Calvin Ridley, off the ball. You see, straight vertical. They know nothing. Last time we showed you, he ran an out route. This time, film study, you might think that outcoming. We going straight deep. Woo, we going by you. Calvin Ridley
showed you.
That he can run routes, he can run go ball, he can do quick screens, he can do anything you want him to do. Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars got him one. Tune in to Speak Monday through Friday. We'll teach you something. That's receiver play.
Ah, I like that receiver play. I like that receiver play. I like that receiver play. Incredibly, incredibly, incredibly well done. Calvin Ridley, Javon Hargrave, Stephon Gilmore, Jalen Ramsey, a bunch of new faces and a bunch of new places. Well, family, when we return from this break, we got to go to a new place. We got to talk about the Ravens offense. Remember, they added new offensive coordinator Todd Monken. Lamar Jackson has no excuses. He has star receivers. He has an offensive coordinator. Running game is always stout. Let me hit a play for y'all so y'all ain't got stare at a blank big board. Running game is always stout. We will get to that next on Speak. Don't go anywhere, family.
That's pretty good. Pretty good, guys.
Well done.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
Okay, straight on camera, family. We are talking football in an intricate fashion. Lamar Jackson, Shady, Lamar Jackson, maybe the most talented quarterback or top three most talented quarterbacks in all of football, all things included. The only player ever to win a unanimous MVP. Well, this offseason, he added Zay Flowers, wide receiver from Boston College in the first round, burner. He added Todd Monken, two-time offensive coordinator, national champion at the University of Georgia. You added Odell Beckham, one of the most talented receivers in the game of football. His has ever seen when healthy. Not only that, you added luxury pieces. Nelson Aguilar is in there. He'll be your third or fourth receiver. Rashad Bateman was drafted in the first round 2 years back. He'll be your second or first receiver, depending on how that goes. Running game has always been great. So when I think about the Ravens, I'm wondering, Slick, do you expect Lamar Jackson to take that next step?
Are you ready for this, Shady?
Man, you typically hate on my boy, so we'll hear what happens now.
I do. I don't see how he cannot.
Got it.
Because Greg Roman could only take him so far.
That's true.
Greg Roman was going to do with him what he did with Colin Kaepernick, what he does when he has a running quarterback, and I'm going to make the most of it. But now he has Todd Monken. He has a new offensive coordinator, and he has new talented pieces around him. What I like most is the variety of the receivers that he has, not only in terms of the roles that they can play, but you're telling me that OBJ can't teach Lamar Jackson a little bit about what it is to be a passing quarterback and how to get him the ball and how they can work certain things. So I just see it set up where he's got the security of the contract now. He's got the talent around him. And there's an old Chinese proverb. When the student is ready, the teacher appears. And to me, that's where Lamar Jackson is.
He's the student?
He is the student, and he now has the opportunity with the pieces around him, with Todd Monken there, a more passing-oriented offensive coordinator, to take him to the next step. Now, how big that step is remains to be seen. But do I think that we're going to see the best of Lamar Jackson as a dual threat this season? Without question, I do.
I think this will be his best year.
Ooh, that's large.
I mean that, yes. Especially throwing the ball at that. Yeah. I just see the talent he has, finally. He finally has a number one receiver that when he plays different teams, they're like, okay, now we got to watch out for his number one receiver. Mm-hmm. Then you go down to the tight end. Mark Andrews is one of the best tight ends in the game. Right? Yeah. So now you have that. And then Rashad Bateman coming back from injury.
Yeah.
He was showing some promise and talent. Like, okay, he's going to be pretty good. Then he gets injured.
Yeah.
But he was on that path. Then you add Zay Flowers in there.
Yeah.
Plus that defense. So I'm all for Lamar Jackson, these Ravens. I think they have a big year this year.
Here's the thing, though, Jay. Let's take the gloves off.
Mm-hmm.
Lamar Jackson has to have a big year this year.
Mm.
In my mind, he has to, yeah. Right? Like, when you answer every question that Lamar Jackson had, he wanted money, America. He got it.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted a new offensive coordinator, America. He got it. Mm-hmm. He wanted more help at wide receiver, America. He got it in abundance. Mm-hmm. Odell Beckham got a contract offer, probably 3X what the market was asking him because the Ravens were that desperate. Odell Beckham making more money than DeAndre Hopkins. Keep in mind, Odell did not play all of last year. Odell making more than D-Hop is going to make this year because the Ravens needed to oblige to Lamar Jackson's requests. And unofficial demands.
Yeah.
Jay, he has to take the next step.
No doubt. And you hit it right on the nose. They have done everything in their power to make sure he takes the next step. Mm. I had an opportunity to go down there to Baltimore and get in the facilities and talk to Monken. And he said, we are taking Lamar Action Jackson back to Louisville.
Ooh.
It's four wide. Come get
Whoa.
Him.
Whoa.
He's going to get the ball out of his hands. He's going to throw this thing, make the right reads. And it's not going to be nine people in the box that he got to juke.
Mm-hmm.
If he does choose to scramble, it's going to be five people in the box. He got to make one miss to go do what he does. All we've been hearing is how talented a passer Lamar Jackson is, and he just ain't had the chance to show it.
Mm.
He is going to get the opportunity to show that this year. And it's up to him, like you said, Ancho. Mm. The plays will be right. They will be called right. The ball is going to be in Lamar Action Jackson's hands, and he has all the weapons around him to get that done. Another thing I'm hearing out of that camp is Zay Flowers is the best receiver out there, including OBJ, and it ain't close.
Mm.
So with everybody eyes on OBJ and OBJ come back to the Rams in the Super Bowl and finishing that year out strong, looking like that OBJ with the addition of Zay Flowers, who can do everything. He's not just a burner. You could put him on the outside. You could put him in the slot to run all the routes. This offense has answers to every single thing any defense wants to give him. And it's a bigger answer when you talk about Lamar Action Jackson being able to use his legs when it's spread out like that.
So is there any doubt on this panel that he will take that next step? You're saying he has to.
Oh, he is.
And I'm looking at what he has, and I'm thinking, how can he not? But I don't think there's any accident. You framed it the way that you did.
I don't know if this makes sense. But I want him to so bad, I'm scared. Mm-hmm. you Jay, get what I'm saying?
As you were talking, I literally was about to ask you this question. This will either be the best or worst thing to happen to Lamar Jackson.
Exactly.
Think about what James Jones was saying. I mean, brilliantly, if you're talking about spreading out four wide receivers, and Shady, you know this, Chip Kelly's offense, y'all were able to get busy because it was just, hey, we're going to spread everybody out, 11 personnel, every now and then 10 personnel, 12 personnel, rarely 11 personnel, meaning one tight end on the field, 12 personnel America, two tight ends on the field. If you were going to spread them out, Slick, there's no excuse for Lamar Jackson.
Understood. But so where does the doubt come in? Why are you scared? What is it that you have not seen or that you need to see?
The doubt comes in because we have seen him do everything so consistently and so great, except pass this ball consistently and great. You know what I'm saying? So now that you're telling me the ball is in Lamar Action Jackson's hands and I want him to, I'm not saying look like Patrick Mahomes or look like Joe Burrow or like, but we're expecting him to spin it over the yard like that. That has never been the game plan for him. So this is going to be the first time that everybody really gets to see him drop back maybe 40 times a game, a couple of games. You know what I'm saying? He's not necessarily do that.
Let me try to give it to you like
coach.
That's what I'm saying. That's why we're scared because we have not. Because we have not seen him do it.
I'll try to put it in like analogy form. It's like whenever I don't see something 2-5, I ask myself why I haven't. One of my homeboys when I first moved to L.A. always wore hats. Yeah. Always wore hats. Like it was going to wear a different type of fitted, different type of fitted. Oakland A's hat, always wore. You like baseball? Nah, bro, I just wear hats. Then one day finally took the hat off and was, oh, you're bald.
Yeah.
So you're wearing hats because you are trying to mask something. Mm. We never really saw Trey Lance with the San Francisco 49ers. Never really saw him. Mm. Then when we did see him last year, wait, why aren't you passing the ball? Mm-hmm. Like just running the ball, then he got hurt. Why didn't we see you? And then when we did see you, why didn't you pass the ball? Yeah. Then it's like, oh, wait. So with Lamar Jackson, I'm not saying that he's trying to mask something. But what I am saying is, to Jay's point, is like, I'm always wondering, if we don't see something, why haven't we seen? Wait, why isn't Shady in pass protection? Mm-hmm. Like, why isn't Shady in pass? Oh, because he doesn't like the pass block. Yeah. That's just what I'm wondering.
I block. Don't use the phrase. I block. Well, my thing is, sometimes also, so why are we, I guess, judging Lamar for that when it should be more of the coordinator? Because the coordinator, that's who he is. No matter if it's Lamar Jackson, no matter if it's Patrick Mahomes.
No doubt.
He's going to coach the way that he coaches. Mm-hmm. Andy Reid, them same plays we see Patrick Mahomes do, he maybe tweaked it a little bit, but that's his offense, right? Yeah. So Lamar, it's not his fault that he didn't throw the ball a lot because Greg Roman, he don't want to throw the ball. He want to throw the ball. He want to put you in.
No doubt.
And the big personnel. Yeah. The Ravens is the only team that has a 300-pound fullback tight end. Come on.
My question, though, Shady.
And we're in 2023 nowadays. Like, what are we doing?
My question, I trust John Harbaugh. He's won a Super Bowl before Lamar Jackson.
Okay.
At the point in which John Harbaugh acquires Greg Roman to become his offensive coordinator, is Harbaugh saying that is going to put Lamar Jackson in the best position to succeed? Lamar did win unanimous MVP, albeit like Shady has said brilliantly, Greg Roman has been limited, many people say.
Limited.
But at the point in which John Harbaugh, who's won a Super Bowl, is like, you know what? Greg Roman will help Lamar succeed the best. And Lamar goes out and wins unanimous MVP.
Okay.
I'm wondering, is Harbaugh seeing something in Lamar that we are not?
I think sometimes you can evolve as a player. Yeah. Right? I feel like when I was my second year, that's where I was in like my fourth, the fifth, the sixth year, I was a different player. So you bigger playbook. And I don't want to come at Harbaugh, but like he's not dealing with the offense. Mm-hmm. It's not what he's known for that. Mm-hmm. Not known for that. I feel like he's seen a great defense he had.
Yep.
We're going to run the ball well, and that's our DNA to win games, which the Ravens have been doing it for years.
Yeah.
But I feel like now it's changed.
Time to level up.
To be a great team nowadays, especially a winner, you got to be a good offense.
But like Acho said, that is why this is scary for me, because I want Lamar to do so well. But we haven't seen it consistently, Shady, with him throwing.
I'm rocking out with Lamar. No, I ain't scared. I ain't worried. I'm counting on the MVP.
We haven't seen it.
MVP.
We haven't
seen it consistently.
Yo, look, that is why it worries everybody.
It's called
because
faith.
Kenny can do it.
I believe in God. That's called faith, baby. I believe in Action Jackson.
Faith without works. Time for Lamar to go to work.
Let's go.
Coming up, we know Nick Chubb can bring it on the field, but y'all got to see what Nick Chubb has been putting in work this all season. Can't wait to show you this when we return. Don't go anywhere.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
All right, family, as we wind it down, we got to check in on our social life. Take a look at Nick Chubb, running back for the Browns, squatting what looks like 610 pounds. Shady, I was never squatting that much in the league, big dog.
In the league, I never did this. I did one-legged squats. I didn't waste my time with this for her.
It looks like a cartoon.
Well, I mean, I guess it's just letting people know you run up on it.
You better rap.
It looked dangerous, too, though.
You better wrap up.
James Harrison's going to come out of retirement.
He's running through arms.
Squatting 600 pounds in the offseason.
But Chubb, he's one of my favorite running backs. He's nice, bro.
Because of that.